What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I think we might be on an island on this Durant thing. The text page is coming back fierce and heavy. Durant, too fragile to be trading for at his age. Durant never pushed a team over the top, ever. Well, I would submit that, the Warriors did lose the year before Durant got there, and then they won. I would say, technically, he did put them back over the top again, you know. But
you know what, though, it is. I think that's the tough thing, is that you have to remember that it's not like Durant is the guy that made them, you know, capable of winning a championship. But to have the run that they did, it's not as simple as saying, like, oh, they easily could have done that without Durant.
Totally.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
Durant pushed them into Dynastyville.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Do not do this trade. Only give the two Suns picks for Devin Booker. Durant will get hurt. See, you've got, like, Jalen Green is your budding Devin Booker in this whole thing. Like, I think, you know, because there are people on here saying, would that stunt Jalen Green's growth? I don't think it would. I really don't. Like, he might not average 25 a game. Like, he might be, you know,
right,
the scoring may be more balanced, but he can be just as good a player, you know?
No, in a lot of respects, that turns, you know, is kind of like, okay, yeah, how do you define growth? Okay, it doesn't, maybe it keeps him from being an MVP candidate or something like that, but in terms of actual growth and learning how to, you know, share the ball and be part of a total offense and all of that, that maybe it might end up ultimately being really good for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got a couple.
As far as the injuries go, I mean, he played 75 games last year.
Yeah.
He missed almost the entire season. He played 47 games the year before, and 22-23.
Okay.
55 the year before that. It's been way more injured than not, and now he's 36 years old. It's a much, much bigger factor than it would be for a lot of other players.
Yeah.
That is, it's given up a lot for a guy that is, I don't think it's a gamble on whether or not he makes your team better, but it almost feels like a 50-50 gamble as to whether he'll be available in the playoffs.
If you do this move, you feel you can win the championship this year. Like, that's the thing. Like, if they make
I don't him, like the big if being that he's 36 years old and he might not be healthy the entire time.
Yeah, that's so you wouldn't do it's it sounds like you're veering more towards not doing the deal.
I've got two boxes checked in the reservation side of thing, which is just simply chemistry. Dylan Brooks is a veteran leader who's he's a Draymond Green type of guy.
Yes.
Like, when you want a scrappy, when you want a guy who's going to kind of enforce the scrappiness element or the blue collar element, Dylan Brooks is that guy. I'm not comparing him to the player Draymond Green, but just what he provides in that regard. And then you've got the injury concerns of Kevin Durant. And I know, look, they're first round picks, and this team already has a bunch of young guys, but they're Phoenix's first-round picks.
Yeah.
These aren't Rockets' first-round picks.
That's a lottery.
These are valuable first-round picks.
The 25 pick is a lottery pick right now.
I'm passing so far.
You're backing away. That's fine. Yeah.
Like, if it was a younger Kevin Durant, then I'd feel differently about it.
I'll admit, like, there's probably like 40 to 50% of my wanting to do it that has to do with being on the radio. You know, like, right? I mean, it would be a major landscape, playoff landscape rattling trade right there.
You know what though, Sean? I mean, you got to also just look at how we feel as Houston sports fans about, all right, you know what? Stephon Diggs, it wasn't yielding the results that we would hope for, but they were they were a better offense, even though they weren't a great offense. They've been way worse since Stephon Diggs went down.
Yeah.
And Stephon Diggs is an older wide receiver.
Yeah.
And you signed him for a one-year deal, yeah. what turned into a one-year deal, and yeah. you gave up a second-round pick.
Yep.
Which it made sense at the time, but in hindsight, yeah, if I knew he was going to get injured, as older players tend to do,
mm-hmm.
it really wasn't worth it. And Durant's much older than Stephon Diggs. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm passing.
The last one I'll read, then we'll get to J.J. Watt on the McAfee show, because this is a cross-sport comparison. I think it's a good one. The Jets were a well-coached and young and up-and-coming, developing team, developing their young players. And then what do? They went out and they got Aaron Rodgers. You would be repeating that scenario if you bring Durant to the Rockets. That's a really, really interesting analogy across sport right there. Because Durant's got a little bit of Rodgers in him, you know, like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
The rabbit ears and the social media, yeah.
Yeah, and he's basically on a de facto one-year deal no matter where he is, because he'll force his way out if he doesn't like things. I guess the difference would be is that Durant will improve the offense immediately.
Yes.
Rodgers, it wasn't clear, because football's a lot more complicated, but he is also, he's coming off a good stretch of play in Green Bay, but he's old too. And it's just football's different. It wasn't immediately clear that, oh yeah, Rodgers is definitely going to improve the offense.
Yeah.
With Durant, I feel like, no, day one, he'll improve the offense. But it's definitely a fair comparison.
Oh yeah.
Very, very, it's a very good comparison.
I like it a lot. Yeah. Up to and including, they both have had Achilles issues. Like,
yeah. Except that Durant's, you know, made it through his come out the other side.
Of course.
He wasn't 40 years old when he was trying to come back from
Achilles. He's not washed. Aaron Rodgers might be washed. Durant's not washed. J.J. Watt, if he were to keep playing, I don't think he'd be washed, but he's chosen to go into media, and he's doing very, very well for himself. He was on the Pat McAfee show for his weekly visit yesterday. Here's J.J. Watt breaking down this version, the 2024 version of the Houston Texans defense.
I mean, obviously, the Texans defense was just incredible to watch. Pat, I hope you and the rest of the AFC South got a real good chance to tune into that.
Yeah, thanks for representing for us. Mm-hmm. Thanks for representing for AFC South.
Just holding it down out here for the AFC South. For me, it was awesome. I think everybody watching hated it because it was pure defense. But for me, seeing Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, seeing these guys tee off was great. Also slightly worrisome because didn't know if any points were going to be scored whatsoever in this game, and it wasn't looking good. Then clearly the turning point of the game was the fumbled snap. CJ turns it into a long pass, and then he scrambles on the next one, takes us down, and that turned out to be the momentum changer. Clearly almost like a light went on in his head, like, oh yeah, I am one of the best players in the world. I'm going to go over here and take over. But this Texans defense, I think we give a ton of credit to the edge rushers, and rightfully so. I think there's so many other guys that also contribute to the two corners are lockdowns. I mean, you got Lasser and Stingley who are absolute lockdowns. You got the backers who are playing good. You have the guys inside, Danico Autry, Mario Edwards, some of these guys. Like, this defense is a legitimate Super Bowl caliber defense. It's a matter of if we can put it all together and keep it all together. And obviously, we all understand the monumental task at hand going into Kansas City up against Patrick Mahomes and the three-time champ. But this defense is the real deal.
Yeah, and look, I think that's the sum total of it all is that it remains, even after the promising performance by the offense last week, it remains a team that you look at it, and if you're being as objective as possible, the most realistic avenue that they make a push and beat the Chiefs and then beat whoever comes next is if the defense just flat out goes off.
Balls.
And hey, that was promising by the offense. They still didn't score a whole bunch of points last week.
No.
It wasn't the greatest show on turf.
No.
You've got to have a freakishly good run by the defense. And that's hard to predict, especially when you're going up against a quarterback like Pat Mahomes, who has never thrown an interception in the divisional round, hasn't thrown an interception this year since mid-November. But hey, Justin Herbert had been equally careful with the football.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes slightly better quarterback than Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
But still, like, you got it. But it illustrates it's got to be an out of your brain type of defensive performance for them to really pull off some kind of a run.
Yeah, I think that's it. It'll be based on the defense if they make a run. If they win on Saturday, the defense, I think it's clear then that means the defense will have played its A game. And the, you know the old saying, like, defense travels, and I feel like that's right to a degree. Like, the play-to-play, the tackling, the, you know, just the lack of mental error. Like, I think those are all things that travel. I think there is, especially on the road, I think there is a little more randomness built into the turnover part of it. Like, it's harder to generate. I think it's easier is probably the wrong word. Playing defense is really hard, but I think it's easier to, like, hold them to 3 yards a carry, you know, lock down this receiver. It's much harder to go in there and say, we got to be +3 in turnovers. Like, okay, good luck.
Right, right.
You
know? Yeah.
Because that means
yeah.
you got to protect the football also in that case. You
right,
know?
Which is, and that's another thing. It's like, hey, CJ still didn't, great job offense and getting it together and everything, but CJ was careless with the ball. You know, you got to, you just got to hem out or iron out some of that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At the very beginning, they got a little bit of that, like, AFC smack talk that they love to do on that show.
Oh, the AFC South. Yeah.
AFC South smack talk. I think that you and I have kind of felt like, it always feels kind of cringy when they're arguing about, you know, who's the best in the AFC South, because it hasn't historically been a great division.
No.
It occurs to me, I think we need to lean into this to the point where, start having that AFC South certain pride where, yes, in the division, in to the point where, and this is the only way it works, I'm going to do something that I don't like to do, and definitely never while I'm being recorded. I'm going to advocate collusion by the AFC South team.
Okay, all right.
I think
explain.
That this is what they need to do. You start to get down towards the end of the season, and you know who the haves and have-nots are.
Right.
And maybe it's clear, like, that one team's better than the other three. Those other teams got to start tanking to whoever the AFC South champion is to help get them a better seed in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Yes. So that the division can go make a run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then when you're in the playoffs, you need to bring in whichever AFC South teams aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They need to help out. Like, actively actually just assist the teams that are in the AFC
South.
Do
we have to fly in fans, like, from Indy and Nashville and Jacksonville? Like,
If they agree to wear Texans gear and get some dental work. so they just don't look like your average Tennessean.
Okay.
All right, you gotta be able to pass yourself off as a civilized human being. But, yes, if you pass the aesthetic standard, and if you wear the Texans gear, then yes, you can be there.
Okay, I like this. This is outside the box thinking right there. or outside the rhombus thinking, which, as we were discussing
earlier.
Which, by
Jack Easterby standards, as long as it's outside the box, it's then good. Damn, it's good.
It's
yeah.
good, yeah. Hey, one more from J.J. Watt on the Pat McAfee Show. Here's J.J. Watt weighing in on the Dallas situation where there is currently a head coaching vacancy.
Cowboys, I have zero idea what in the world that is. Blocking interviews from McCarthy last week and then letting him go this week. Getting yourselves where you can't interview Ben Johnson and those guys. Like, just zero idea what's happening down there.
They said it's a solo mission by Jerry. That's the latest report. I think Jane Slater said Jerry Jones is taking his own himself.
Great.
Listen, if it's a good hire, it's on me. If it's a bad hire, it's on me. You guys don't have to deal with what I'm doing. And I'm very proud of what we did in oil and gas. And, most proud about getting to do this with my sons. And you don't want to be sitting there, I'm sorry, laying there in the future wishing you could see a couple more sons come up.
So that's him doing an impression of Jerry Jones on the show Landman.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good by Pat McAfee.
Yes,
it was a good little bit of acting. McAfee will probably start getting some acting roles. Yeah.
Oh,
little
yeah.
cameos here cameos. And there. He should. He's got the charisma for it.
No doubt.
Yeah, the fact that this is the thing. Jerry Jones did an interview a year ago or so where basically he was. Somebody had asked him, like, why is he the best guy? Mm-hmm. And he starts going over his resume. And you're like, yeah, Jerry, that stuff was, everything he was listing was either on the business side of things or it was the success from long
in the 90s.
The past. Yeah. Yeah. The thought I had was that if Jerry Jones were doing that, that interview from his car, it's like he must have some special car where the rear view mirror takes up the entire space of the windshield. Like you're just, because that's what it feels like. He's driving this car where the rear view mirror is the size of the windshield. He can't see anything that's in front of him. And he's bragging about all this football stuff. And you're like, Jerry, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
30 years ago. Like, what? Your qualifications and standards. Do you know how many good GMs there are from 1989 that I would not give a chance in hell to come in and be my GM today?
Yeah.
But you got to do something.
Yeah.
In the last 30 years. It's incredible.
That's
and this like letting just blocking McCarthy's interviews while just simply not having any plan of keeping him or anything else like that. It's classic Jerry Jones just living at a pace that's different than everybody else's.
Yeah.
And it is way too slow for the NFL. It's just it's a BS bogus Bush League move to just block a guy from interviews when you've got no intention of keeping him.
And yet, at this stage that Jerry's at, like, I don't even know that he, like, knew it was Bush League or was doing it out of pettiness. It feels like there's no plan with anything that team does. Like,
it's a damn shame.
It feels like someone got in his ear and said, hey, you know, Mike wants to interview for this Chicago job. You still have him under control for a week. Oh, really? I can block this? Oh, okay. Well, let's block it. Why are you doing this? I don't know. Because we can, I guess. I don't know. That's the most helpless feeling, I think, as a fan, is when ownership is messing up. Because that's the one thing that, barring selling the team or the owner being forced out like Daniel Snyder was, I mean, think about what those Washington people were living with for 25 years up there. Like, you're a diehard fan of the team.
Yeah.
And the one person or the one entity that is really screwing up is the one that won't fire themselves.
It's kind of sad because, man, you'd like to think that, okay, when you get to a certain age, you become a mentor as much as anything else, and you've trained people around you or in your organization to be able to carry on your legacy.
Yeah.
And he is just clutching with a death grip this notion that he's the guy. He's the only guy that knows what he's doing.
It's wild.
And when, like, the clear and obvious thing is that so many times he is undoing the good work or good decisions of people in his organization that it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
He's destroying his own legacy because he has done a lot of really impressive things in the NFL. If it is indeed just a one man search for him, I'll remind him the last time that he had a coaching search, he allowed Mike McCarthy to sit there and lie to him about having watched all the previous games of the Cowboys.
Yep.
McCarthy admits it in a press conference sitting next to Jerry Jones that he lied to the guy who just hired him. And it's like, it's obvious that you're just you are past your prime, man.
Yep. No question. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Up next, The biggest non-X's and O's potential obstacle for the Chiefs and for the Texans, which one weighs bigger into this game? We will discuss coming up next.